Oh, God is good. The men of valor will have notes in your hand in a moment. But Wednesday night, we began a message of becoming attuned to revival anointing and of rising up to pray the price for revival of the Holy Spirit that empowers true revival power. Because there cannot be a true revival without the power of God in manifestation. And it is the power of God that makes a difference. The Word of God is fantastic. It's wonderful. But the Word of God without the manifestation of God's Spirit is severely lacking. Revival rides on the wings of prayer. To revel in His presence and power, one must pray the price on their knees. Well, Pastor, you know, I really don't have time to pray. Then you really don't have time to succeed. That's like the person who goes to university and says, I don't have time to study. Then you don't have time to graduate. I mean, there are some things in life that just, the price of admission. Praying His promises brings His performance. Father, what does it mean to pray the promises I ask? And He said, very simple. Take Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power, authority, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses. He said, how would you pray that? And I went, oh, that's easy then. Father, I thank You that because I've received Your Holy Spirit, I'm empowered of You to be a witness of Your presence, to be a witness of Your power, to be a witness of Your strength, not to give witness, but to be in demonstration, to be a living witness of Your power and presence. For Your Holy Spirit has come upon me, has come to live within me. Therefore, I thank You, Father, that I am anointed of You to be an example of Your presence in the earth. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Begin to pray it. Father, I thank You that the people of House Lord Fellowship Church are believers, one and all. And because we're believers, these signs follow us. We cast out demons. We remove demonic presences. If we eat any deadly thing, it will not harm us. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. We speak with new tongues. We demonstrate Your resurrection triumph. Yes. Amen. You see, praying the promise, find the promises of God. Father, it is written in Your word, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. Therefore, no one will come to me for prayer but what the prayer of faith within me is equal to the need of their life. When you start praying the promises instead of, God, please do this, God, please do that. There was a motorhome going down the road, and I've seen several of them. One of them said, we're spending our children's inheritance. And I went, no, not a good idea. Because a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, I've had people tell me proudly, I'm not leaving one red cent to my kids. I had to make it on my own. They can make it on their own. I've already made sure that things are set up that my son is blessed. My grandson is blessed. When my grandson turns 18, he starts collecting. Amen. Well, Pastor, how much are you leaving? All of it. But I whipped in behind another motorhome, and it had a different bumper sticker. I like the one that said, we're retired, don't even ask. We ain't doing nothing, don't even ask, we're retired. I said, now that one I can relate to, because my Bible says that my God ceased from all his labors. Now, I know religion in its stupidity teaches a lot of faint-minded people ridiculous things. And I actually saw where there was some lying preacher teaching people the techniques of knocking on God's door until he answers. Because we found a scripture that says, you know, the woman kept knocking, and because of her importunity, the judge finally gave her what she wanted. But that was an unjust judge, and my God's not unjust. But he was saying, if you work hard enough, you can get even wrong things to turn around. But that was written under law and didn't describe a just judge like our God.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
It is a waste of your breath to ask God to do for you what his word says he's already done. It hurts my heart to see people saying, I'm praying that God will heal me. That prayer can't be answered. It's impossible for God to answer a prayer from a child of God who prays, God, please heal me. God, would you heal me? God, are you going to heal me? God, when are you going to heal me? Because all of those deny God's word. His word said, with his stripes you were healed. As far as he's concerned, the price of your healing is paid. Now then, if I tell Damon the rib plate that the county line is paid for.
Hallelujah.
It's taken care of. Now, if he never tastes ribs, whose fault is it?
Mine.
And if he came to you and said, I'm believing Pastor's going to get me some ribs. And you go, wait a minute, I was there when he told you the rib. This is purely for demonstration purposes. I was at the line yesterday, and but you understand, when someone you trust their word and their veracity says they've done something, why would you be foolish enough to keep asking them to do what they said they've done? So to pray the promises of God, Father, I thank you. Your word says that himself bore my infirmities on the tree, and with his stripes I was made whole. Your word promises me that he has already paid the price for my healing. Yes. Since the price is paid, I receive from you the healing you bought from sickness. You got to go. Disease, you're a lie, and you're leaving me.
Amen.
The word of truth in your mouth changes your world. Well, Pastor, if you ever really got sick, you'd pray for him to heal you. No, I really got sick, and I didn't pray for him to heal me. I began to celebrate the truth of his word, and I walked out, and the doctor said to me, and every time I go see him, they say to me, there's no medical reason for you to be alive. I don't need a medical reason. I've got a promise of God. Now then, when you become convinced that God's word is more powerful than your begging, you'll quit it. My Bible says my God supplies all of my needs. I don't pray, God, what are you going to do about the rent? No. I thank you, Daddy God, that it doesn't matter how high the rent gets, it's covered.
Praise God. Yes, sir.
Well, Pastor, aren't you concerned about the economy? No, I'm a believer. I'm born again. I don't have to be concerned about the economy. The economy can crash and burn, and I will have plenty to eat. I'll have gas in my car. I was being interviewed on a radio program back in 1973. Now, some of y'all can't remember 1973 because you weren't even around yet. But I was being interviewed on a radio program about what was I going to do about the economic downturn, and there were lines at all the gas stations. And they said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've decided to trade my Fleetwood Brougham D'Elegance in and get a Sedan DeVille, because that's about all the suffering I'm into. They don't even have the Fleetwood Brougham D'Elegance anymore, but in those days it was about 9 miles long, had footstools in the back that folded down. And so I sacrificed. I did my part for the economy. I got rid of my Fleetwood. I got a sedan DeVille. And that's enough suffering. I never did without gas. I'll never do without gas. There's not enough gas wars in the world to keep me from going where I need to go. Why? The Word of God does not say, and my God shall supply all of your needs unless there's a gas war. My God shall supply all of your needs unless there's a drought. A few months ago, church, you came together right after they came out and said, we're in a 10-year drought cycle and there will be no rain. And Lake Travis, the pontificators of gloom and despair, said Lake Travis will be dry by the end of 2016. And we came together on a Wednesday night and we prayed ahead of time, not after, we prayed. We want the lakes filled back up. And we want Austin to be watered. Well, Pastor, a flood came. I didn't get flooded. Anybody in here get flooded?
Nope.
Now, people without a covenant, they might have been looking for a rowboat, but my God supplies all of my need. And there was a flood in my neighborhood. It went right by the back door. We had cats in the backyard diving in the water. My wife and my niece posted pictures of the cats diving there. It was a lake in my backyard, but it doesn't come nigh my dwelling. Scared the patio. Patio was shaking a little bit. But you prayed and we commanded the lakes to be filled. And good news, Lake Travis will not be dry by the end of 2016 because it was filled back up. Why? Because we commanded it. We decreed it. We joined together. If two or three agreed as touching anything, they can have it. As long as it doesn't violate God's word. And we didn't do it in a corner. We did it in the room, and we decreed what would happen before it happened. It happened. Y'all have done this with hurricanes. You've done it with all kinds of things. Well, learn this. If we can come together and do it, then Damon can call Peter, and they can say, let's us agree about this. Because if you have a promise of God, you have a provision of God. So stop praying for God to do what he said he's done because you're embarrassing yourself in front of the throne. God, are you going to help me? No, he's not. God, are you going to heal me? No, he's not. Pastor, why do good people die? Because they're stupid. That's not mean. That's not unkind. You have not because you ask not, and when you ask with the wrong motivation. The motivation is never, I don't want to be sick anymore. The motivation is, Father, I want to be a testament to the truth of your word. So from this day forward, I will walk in health. Before the service, I was standing over praying, and at the end of the assembly today, we will be available to pray with anyone. And the Lord said something to me that in 40-something years of ministry, I've never heard before. He said, someone is facing a colon challenge. And I went, boy, I never had that one before. But if you want to get rid of it and see that lie broken, we'll pray with you after church.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, is it just going to be an exclusive colon prayer? No. Anything that doesn't agree with divine health, you have a promise that with his stripes you were made whole.
Praise
God. Yes. So quit asking God to heal you. Quit praying, when are you going to heal you? Quit crying out to God, God, I hurt. God, I don't want to hurt. Well, then get smart. Can you imagine you're a professor at a university and one of your students saying to you, I don't want to flunk this course. I don't want to study. Learn the lessons. It's that simple. I wouldn't want a degree that I could talk somebody out of. Pastor, you're just saying that. No, twice I've had presidents of universities offer me a degree if I would just. And I said, no, I don't want it. And if I can get a degree that easy, what good is it? Your God has already prepared for you everything you ever need. There's already a promise in the New Testament concerning everything that pertains to life and godliness, and you can pray what you want and continue to do without it, or you can pray what he said in agreement with it and live there.
Amen.
The Lord asked me something this week, and so we've got several chapters left on identification. But if you're serious, you can go read them, and we're going to stop on the identification today and go a different direction. The Lord said to me, do you want the house of the Lord to be known for your teaching or for my presence? Didn't take me long to get that. Okay, Lord. For years, I have taught and taught and taught your word and not brought stale, leftover bread, always seeking something new from you to bring. And the Lord said, how's the Lord's known for your teaching? It needs to be known for my presence. All right, Lord, I'll make all the changes. Is that quick? Is that simple? You call me to teach, but if you got another direction you want to go, I am on board and in line.
Amen.
So I'm going to start seeking God about exactly what he wants to bring and who he wants to bring it, because I want his presence. And there's a couple of years of sermons online that you can pull up and go back over if you need some more teaching. And I know there'll be teaching in there because it's part of his plan, but it will not be exclusively known as a teaching ministry. Our last two meetings that we had just recently, one in July, one in August, taught us something. Both of them were teaching the word of truth, but one came in demonstration of the Spirit and one didn't. Which one had the greater impact? When you know whose you are, you will understand who you are and awaken to what you can do. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. I know that because I am born of God, and since I am born of God, I am filled with his faith, and I overcome the world. Now, sometimes I overcome the world in bits and pieces. I overcome the world concerning finances. I overcome it concerning health. I overcome it concerning pressures and emotions. I overcome it. But I overcome the world all at once or a piece at a time. It doesn't matter. Overcoming is what I do. Why? Because I pray the truth. Yes. With his stripes I was healed. I'm going to walk in health.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, what if you get sick? I'll get out of it.
Yes, sir.
You see, I may fall into a snare, but I'm not going to stay there.
Amen.
Right. Hon, if I fall in a ditch, I don't go, well, it must be the Lord's will for me to be in a ditch. No. God called me to rule and reign. In the ditch is not ruling and reigning. Therefore, I know the ditch is not God's will for my life.
Amen.
And when every believer starts awakening and going, wait a minute, God's sickness is not your will for my life.
Amen.
Because you wouldn't have sent your son to the cross to pay this awesome price for my health if being sick was your will. And any lying idiot, I don't care if they call themselves reverend or not, any lying preacher that told you, God put this on you to teach you something. God teaches you with his word and his spirit, not with the devil's arsenal.
Right. Right. That's good. Amen.
What would you think of a father that came by and grabbed someone else's hand to hit his child because he didn't want his hand touching his child?
Wow.
Are you listening?
Yes.
What would you think of a father that grabbed someone else's hand to beat his kids so that he could say, he's not my job.
Right.
I don't done that. Then how stupid is it for Christians to go around, God took my baby.
Absolutely
not. Oh, so God reached over and took death from the devil and put the devil's hand over there to kill that child because God said death is his enemy. And the last enemy that shall be conquered is death.
Yes.
Well, yes, Pastor Jim, in the end time, oh, wake up. That verse was meant for Kennard. That verse says, Kennard, the last enemy you're going to conquer is death. Well, yes, in the end time when Jesus returned. Oh, shut up, fool. The last enemy you conquer is death, means to you personally that you look it right in the eye and say, death, you can't have me. You can't win over me. You don't hold any uncertainty to me. And all you are is just a way out of this realm of existence into the next realm of existence where I'll rule and reign with Christ Jesus for eternity. Death, you don't frighten me. It hurts my heart to find a Christian dying and they're terrified. Did you never read the last enemy that shall be conquered is death? That means, understand this, when death comes and stands right in your faith, whether you're 120 years old or 17 years old, you look it right in the eye and you say, you have no threat for me. Friday, you just tell it, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm conquering you right now, and whether I live or die, doesn't matter. I win. I'll win in life. I'll win out of life. Because life lives in me.
Yes.
Death, you don't present a challenge to me.
Right.
Quit being a religious idiot and pushing everything over to the end time. Mm. Right. The last enemy that Tina will conquer is death. And once she settles it in her mind and her spirit, the death is not a problem for me. It's just like lights out. And the minute the lights go out in this existence, the lights come on in another existence, and I'm living unfettered eternally in God's presence.
Amen. Amen.
Win-win.
Religion has made the Word of God garbage to the people who have allowed it. Jesus came and said to the Jewish people, you have made the Word of God of no effect by twisting it, by adding your traditions to it. And then I walk around today and I see churches going back to the Jewish feast days, Jewish this, Jewish that, getting back to the Jewish roots, and I go, you're idiots. You're out of your stinking mind. No, maybe the problem is you're in your mind, because if he was in the spirit, you wouldn't be that stupid. Jesus walked the earth 3.5 years, and the only thing he ever preached against was Judaism. Read it. He never preached against drinking, smoking, any of that. He never preached against cursing. He never preached against dancing. What did he preach against? Judaism. And what do you find all over the country today? You're going into the churches and they got their yarmulke. They got their shofar. They got their sword. They're talking. I had a friend pastored a supposedly Pentecostal church. You know what his dying words to his wife were? Remember, baby. Keep the feast days. Excuse me, I couldn't quite swallow that.
Wow.
Keep the feast days. The feast days all pointed to our coming Savior. He came. Once I get residency in Austin, I quit taking pictures of the city limit sign. I quit buying maps that show me how to get there. I don't need feast days. I am at the Master's table. My Lord has come. I'm not keeping days that remind me he's coming. When you know whose you are, and that's the purpose of the book, Identification, so that you will learn who you're identifying with. Because when you learn who you're identifying with, you learn your identity. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. I was born of God to rule and reign on earth, and I refuse to be concerned by anything that tries to concern me.
Amen.
I stole that from Lou. The series we've been on in Identification is a tool of truth to equip you for victory. We've been taking it chapter by chapter, line by line. But the summation is this. Figure out who you are, then you'll know what you got to do, then you'll become what he's called you to be.
Amen.
At the start of World War II in the Pacific, this quote came to light. Admiral Yamamoto said, "I fear all we have done in bombing Pearl Harbor is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve." He was a prophet and didn't know it, because America awoke and America came and defeated Japan after it looked like they had defeated us. The devil comes to you and he tries to defeat you in your health, in your wealth, in your joy, in your peace, in your emotions, in your family members, in your future, in your dreams, in your aspirations. Are you going to take it, or are you going to say, "Wait a minute, I'm waking up to this. The devil keeps trying to knock me down. I must have something in my future that he's trying to keep me from getting to."
That's it. Amen.
Glory to God.
Listen, the Bible says, "Count it all joy."
Yes.
When you fall into all manner of
yes.
temptations, tests, and trials.
Yes.
Why? Did you notice when you're watching a football game that when the Cowboys are lined up on this side of the field and the Steelers are lined up on this side of the field, that none of the Steelers ever go over and harass the water boy? You never see a group of Steelers going across the field and they get over there to the guy with the Gatorade. "We're coming for you today. There ain't enough Gatorade to stop us." No, why? He's not the issue. Water boy's not the issue. You ever see him just go over to the other side of the bleachers and go, "You guys are not going to intimidate us"? No. Where do they spend all their time? You ever see him go over and there's an injured player, got a cast on, he's sitting on the bench and he's benched for the season, and they go over, "You're no threat to us today"? No, why? The fact that the challenge is being given to the players says that's where they see the threat. Now, God has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Anything that's not like life in its abundance is of the devil. Because he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, wake up. It's not from God. And if things are trying to continually, Nancy, we wake up and we look, "I'm being buffeted on every side." What did Paul go? "Hey, I'm being buffeted on every side." He said, "I'm rejoicing. I'm excited. Count it all joy when all hell breaks loose." Because that is the devil telling you he sees you as a threat. Quit sniveling. "He's trying to get my children. He's trying to get me fired. He's coming against my health. He's let people steal all my money." Oh, shut up. Grow up, stand up, wake up, and go, "No. I'm counting it all joy, because this wouldn't be happening if the devil and his minions didn't see me as a threat."
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to look at what he's doing. I'm going to look into my inventory and see what it is I've got that he's opposing. Is he opposing my mind? God must have an invention, a thought, a creative process for me that's going to be great, and the devil's trying to keep my mind off of it. Is he attacking my body? God must have some place he wants me to be, and not being in health would keep me from
yes.
being at my appointment.
Yes.
Therefore, I'm keeping that appointment.
Yes.
Church, understand this. Yes. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this has just come to prove what's in me is greater than what's opposing me.
Yes.
By awakening a sleeping giant, defeat was just a matter of time. Church, awake to identification. You're the ecclesia, the called out ones. You were called out of the world's mess to demonstrate the kingdom's success. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. Pastor Jim, what does that mean? We just discussed it. Why is the devil attacking your mind, your spirit, your body? What does the light say? He's called you out of darkness into this marvelous light that you might demonstrate his victory. Is this trying to keep you from demonstrating a victory?
Yes, sir.
Then let the light expose that fact and stop whatever's going on.
Yes.
No, devil, you're not doing this anymore. I'm anointed of God to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the devil. And I'm ready to cast you out, now get. It is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. We touched on this Wednesday night, and if you weren't here Wednesday night, go on to our website and get the message from Wednesday night.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Yes,
there's a deception, a delusion, culture of blindness that's come on the earth, especially on America, and unfortunately on much of the church. But when you start getting the light of who you are and whose you are, the deception begins to fall off of you. I've been pastoring this church, 36 years? Been involved in ministry for over 40 years. And I've never had a day I wanted to quit. And sometimes, Sean, I get confused. I'll pick up ministry today. How to overcome burnout. And I go, how can there be burnout in the ministry?
Yeah.
Nothing burns out if it's taking on fresh fuel.
Yes. Yes. Man, that's good.
Burnout means you ran out of gas.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
How to overcome burnout in the ministry? Study to show yourself approved unto God.
Amen.
A workman that needeth not to be burned out. I pick up George Barnett, and he says this year, 1,500 pastors will leave the ministry. 2,000 churches will close to never open again. And people go, oh, dire times. I'm going, man, look at the opportunities.
Amen. That's all that's good. Praise God.
2,000 people move out of a town. What do you know? There's some good buys on property.
Yes, sir.
Market just got uncrowded. It just went from a seller's market to a buyer's market. I'm going to get me a deal. I'm not going to whine and cry and complain because 2,000 people moved out. I'm going to go, what can I do with this void? Because I know money is never made when you sell. It's made when you buy. And if everybody's selling, I want to buy. If everybody's buying, I want to sell. Why? Believers don't follow the world. They lead it. Deception, delusion, cultural blindness are exposed when the truth dawns to eliminate what darkness is concealed. Why is the devil trying to convince you that Christianity is passé? He ain't fighting it if it ain't a problem for him. Why is the devil trying to keep you from reading your New Testament? I had someone tell me when I said, you know, I was having problems sleeping, and I found out all I've got to do is just open my Bible, I read a couple of lines, and I'm sound asleep. And I went, have you figured that out yet? What? You're using the devil to go to sleep. Because you know, if you can't sleep, all you got to do is start to read Scripture and you fall asleep because a spirit of slumber will come on you to keep you from the truth. Quit it. Oh, don't quit reading your Bible before you go to sleep. One of the best things you can do to ensure good sleep is to read the New Testament before you go to sleep. But don't read it to go to sleep. Read it to be renewed. And tell the devil to get off of your sleep patterns. Devil, you're not in charge of my sleep. And if I have to stand on tiptoes to read the word, you're not putting me to sleep. And once you win that battle, you won't have that problem anymore. But there's deception that has come into the church. It's come into people's lives, and the devil is leading people astray because they don't remember who they are. When you know who you are, you don't hide from ICE. When you know you're driving the speed limit, you don't go into panic mode when you see a police car behind you. I was going down the highway with someone, and I passed a police car on the highway. What are you doing? I'm passing a police car. Why? He's driving 60 and a 70. But he might pull you over for what? Now, if he's out of my mirror, we might have made it up to 75. But Pastor, you've gotten off the message. No, I haven't. You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free from the fear of what the truth has already addressed. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not afraid of poverty. I'm not afraid of economic downturn. But Pastor, what if one's coming? What do you mean, what if? It's coming. I told you in 06 what would happen in 08. I'm telling you now what's about to happen. Is that for fear, for worry, for torment? No, that's so you can get up on the word, up on the promises, so you can begin to girt yourself about and prepare for this so that you can run when the rain starts coming. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Pastor, is this a resurrection passage? No, what this is, if you've been hanging out with the dead people who don't have a promise, and you're treating sickness the same way your lost friends and loved ones are, you need to wake up. If you are addressing your financial situation the same way people without a covenant and a promise and without salvation are treating their finances, you crazy. You dead and don't know it. I don't change anything in my life when the flu season comes. People go, did you get your flu shot this year? No, never had one, never will have one. Well, I wouldn't say that. I would. I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Therefore, the flu doesn't hold any problems for me. You see, before I learned the truth, I had pneumonia twice. I used to have the flu all the time. Once I learned the truth, I don't do that no more. Homie ain't into suffering. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, from people doing things the natural way, and start letting Christ shine in you. He is the Word, and He will give you light. Wait, I've got light on this. I don't have to be sick. Wait, I've got light on this. I don't have to be broke. Wait, I don't have to be hopeless. I've got light on this. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives peace. I'm not looking for a peace that says there ain't no battles. I'm looking for a peace that says there's not a battle that can touch me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The peace God gives is not a cessation from war. It's the ability to walk through the battlefield and not worry about the mines. The times, seasons, deluding influence have darkened the church, the called out ones, comprehension and understanding. People in the church have begun to act about the finances, about health, about joy, peace, everything the way their lost friends are. People come home from work and they've heard their friends at work discussing the economy and they start reacting the way their friends at work are. You're not without promise. I am a child of God. Therefore, my God supplies all of my need, and there will never be an economic problem so big that I can't survive it. Coming to grips with identification with and in the anointed Redeemer is pivotal to walking in resurrection power, life, and light. I am born of Him. I am one with Him. I am seated with Him. Him lives in me. Therefore, there's nothing that we, he, and me can't conquer. If any two are agreed as touching anything, they shall have it. Well, Pastor, I wish I could find me a strong person to agree with. I did. It's called It Is Written. When the devil came face to face with Jesus, he said, "It is written." That was Jesus and the Word agreeing, and those two touched Satan himself, and he was defeated. I don't need to get me a prayer partner. I've got a prayer word. So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Now that's the New American Standard translation. But I want to address what Daddy is saying to this congregation right now, because Scott, it's good. So here's the Taylor translation. On that day, God will end the bondage of his people. He will break the slave yoke off of their necks, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing or the fat. Well, Pastor, you know, we're still in the dark a little bit here. How does this apply to this body? And it has come to pass. You see, God wrote the Bible in a particular way. And some people have trouble with Young's literal translation because he didn't convert the language. Have any of you tried to read anything from the Arabic newspapers lately? A lot of languages differ. In English, I say, "Bring me a glass of water." But if I'm south of the border, I would say, "A glass of water bring to me," because the object is different. On this side of the border, the object is... On the other side of the border, the object is the water. Many of the Hebrew texts were written in the future present tense. And so when Young translated it, "And it has come to pass..." Now this is being written centuries before, but that's the way God taught. When God said it, it's done. "Have I not said it, and will I not bring it to pass?" So God doesn't write promises. He writes performance. And so when Young translated, he translated the Hebrew the exact way it would be in English. He didn't change the object so that English-speaking people would understand it. So a lot of people go, "I can't read the Young's literal translation of the Bible. It's just too hard to understand." Not if you understand it from the way it's written rather than the way you want it to be said. "And it has come to pass in that day." It's already done. It's just waiting for the day to show up. Asia, we start saying, "It's already done. I'm healthy. I'm just waiting for it to show up. I'm wealthy. I'm just waiting for it to show up. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the anointed of God. I'm just waiting for the anointing to show up to confirm what I know is already true."
Amen.
"And it has come to pass in that day, turned is his burden from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and destroyed has been the yoke because of prosperity." Do you want to know what this verse means to you? Here's what God is saying. The problems and troubles that have dogged your back, your neck, are falling off of you. And there is a time of prosperity coming. That every yoke that's held you back will be broken because of the level of prosperity you stand in. Now, a lot of people have pontificated concerning the end time wealth transfer. How much, Tina, would your life be changed if $1 million was dropped in your lap?
It's already planned.
The electric bill yoke, it's broken because of the prosperity.
Right.
The "I need some time off" yoke is broken because of the prosperity. The "we never get to go any place" yoke is broken because of the
prosperity.
I don't see any way out of this situation. The yoke is broken because of the... What is the one message the devil is fighting the hardest to silence today? The message of prosperity. Why? Because God has said to this body, to the born-again children of God, the day is coming where the prosperity will be so great, every yoke and concern will fall off of you.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because God put the wealth in the earth for you.
Yes.
You remember what we read before the offering? God said, hey, Adam, the gold, it's over at Ophar, and it's good.
Yes.
Go for the gold. No, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just suffering for Jesus. I find I suffer for Jesus a whole lot easier with a wallet full of green than I do without. Now, just stop for a second. What situation in your life would not be changed if you had enough money today? Pastor, you're talking about money. We're talking spiritual things. Hon, you ain't even got time to pray because you're working so hard. You're wore out when you get home. You ain't even got time to pray. If you had enough money, you didn't have to work.
Right.
You'd have some time to pray. You could buy those books you've been wanting to buy. You could take those courses you've been wanting to take. You could get that tape series you've been... Or tape series. No, you'd be getting DVDs.
Yeah.
Show, you know, you'd have... You know, Joseph Prince there on your 8-foot widescreen high definition TV.
Yeah. Praise God.
You'd know for sure if his eyes really curve on the end or not. He's from Indonesia, they do. But church, we read over this promise because we don't want to find which translation breaks it down to where we can really read it. I've had ladies get mad when they found out that the King James, the last chapter of Romans, changed when Paul said, I present unto you a bishop, a pastor, an evangelist, a minister, and the King James changed it all to handmaiden, 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 handmaiden. But if you'll go look it up, you'll find out that Paul was not against women. Well, he did say, I don't allow a woman to teach a man. He said, I don't allow the converted whores to teach men. Because he wrote to a church at a place where every woman had to serve as a temple prostitute. Every woman. And now those women are getting coming to church, and they were used to getting their way with,
right.
Oh, big boy.
That's good.
They'd learned how to move 300 pounds of ugly fat with one finger. And Paul said to that church, don't let the women teach there because they're used to getting their way with the, you know, boom, chicka, boom. But Paul preached with Aquila and Priscilla. And he commissioned women pastors, women bishops, women evangelists, women ministers. But people take one verse written to one church about one problem and go, we ain't letting no women preach. My Bible says, and God called their name Adam, not his name Adam and hers Eve. Well, how'd that happen? You got to read the literal. God said, and he called their name Ish. And Ish said, oh no, I am Ish, but she is out of me, so she is Ish-Osh. Well, where did we get Adam and Eve? Somebody translating the Bible made those names up. They used the letter A for Alpha, Greek. Well, you know, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. No, he's not. He is not the Alpha and Omega. He is the Olive and the Tav. And that's totally different. When you change it into Greek, it destroys the whole meaning. Our Lord is not the Alpha and Omega. That's a lie of translation. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. when you know the truth, you'll never call him the Alpha and Omega again, because he's not. It's much bigger than that. When you know what the Aleph and the Tav means, it's prophetic, and it has nothing to do with start and finish, because God is eternal. There is no start and there is no finish. Pastor, are you getting away from the subject? No, it's all the same subject. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might experience the wealth that destroys the yoke that has hindered you from ruling and reigning in life as kings and priests unto God. For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness and gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied, fat. You think some hipster invented rolling fat? Hun, I'm a believer. That's the way we roll.
That's what we roll.
We roll fat because the fat breaks the yoke. Yoke-free environment right here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now turn to Romans chapter 6. Pastor, you're going along today. Hey, you can sleep in tomorrow. It's a holiday week. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? Oh, no, Pastor, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't date girls who do. That's not what it's talking about there. God's not concerned about the smoking, the drinking, the cursing. You know what he's concerned about? Representing. It's a sin for a Christian to be sick. It's a sin for a Christian to be broke. It's a sin for a Christian to be discouraged, defeated, disheartened, suicidal. Why? Because if you knew who you was, it's impossible to be any of those things. As a Christian, you are spiritual Teflon and that trash can't cling to you. Get your Teflon on, church. Quit letting that stuff stick to you. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean, we who died to sin? What's this we? You got mice in your pocket or something? No, no. God is looking at you as part of him.
Amen.
No, no. Say this with me. God is looking at me
as part of him.
When God says we, he means
he
and me.
And me.
Or do you not know? Hadn't it not yet dawned on you? All of us who have been immersed into Christ have been immersed into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might be raised from the dead to the glory of the Father and walk in a new kind of life. Amen. Yoke-free, burden-free, rolling fat.
Amen.
For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Question. How is our resurrected Lord right now? Let's see. He's sitting at the right hand of God.
Uh-huh.
He's ruling the heavens.
Yes, sir.
He's dressed in gold.
Okay.
He's sitting on gold.
Uh-huh.
He's walking on gold. That sounds pretty fat to me.
Right.
I think his yoke is destroyed.
Right.
As he is, so are we.
Amen.
Look at your fatness. Knowing this, that our old self, the way we used to be, was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin, the way we used to be, might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. God wants the yoke off.
Yes.
And God wants you so prosperous that all the yoke is broken.
Amen.
For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, and we did, we believe that we shall also live with him. Yes, Pastor, someday in the sweet by and by. Oh, shut up, fool. Right now. Rule and reign in this life as kings and priests. 1 John says, as he is now, so are you in the earth. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to get my good on. Got my good on now. No, I got my God on now. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Then I will never die again.
Right. Right.
I'll just change addresses.
Right.
I used to live at 1208 Oak Shadows. How foolish would you think someone was if they drove by 1208 Oak Shadows and said, he's gone. He's not there anymore. Moving didn't affect me at all. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him, death no longer is master over me. Because the last enemy I face is death, and I've settled that question. It can't win. For the death that he died to sin once for all, so I don't have to do it. But the life that he lives, he lives to God. So the life I live to God. God wants me healthy, wealthy, sickness-free. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. And now, power-filled saints, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be. Not you shall witness or give witness. You shall be. You'll live a life of testimony. Authority to identify with him as he is. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, because I had to do them under the law. You get to do them under grace. Because I go to the Father. Pastor, what does that mean, because I go to the Father? Your connection is made. He went to the Father and sat down at the Father's right hand. When he did, so did you. And because you're seated with him in heavenly places, you can do everything he did now.
Amen.
Seated with him to be him in manifestation in the earth. And you were dead in your trespass and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. You used to do things the same way everybody else did, but now you don't do things the way everybody else does. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But we changed. We ain't that way no more. Get your mind renewed to who you are so you can do what you were called to do and be who you were called to be. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Well, if I was dead in my transgressions and I've changed, I must now be alive in my triumph. And made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places. Now go back. Because I go to the Father, John 14:12, you can do these things because I go to the Father. Why? Because we went with him to the cross. We went with him to the grave. We went with him to hell. We went with him to heaven. We're seated together with him. Roger's authority is intact. He is an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. Scott's authority is intact. He is the king, the priest, and the God.
Amen.
Are we getting it, church?
Yes.
Tina's triumph is complete.
Yes.
She has sat down. If he sat down when he ceased from all his works, and she sat down with him, then she needs to cease from her works and start doing his works. Quit doing sick and start doing healed. Quit doing broke and start doing abundantly blessed. Quit doing fearful and start doing faith. Quit doing I can't hardly and start doing all things. Are you ready to be filled with a great resolve? What was it Yamamoto said? I fear we've only awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with resolve. I'm filled with resolve. I'm awake to my identity. I'm awake to my authority. I'm awake to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Napoleon, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. And I am stepping into the abundant prosperity that destroys the yoke, so I'm not held back from anything.
Amen.
Salvation and identification with the risen and seated Lord means this: the entire molecular structure of my eternal being has been changed to realign with divine configuration.
Wow.
Oh, look at the person next to you. Do they look like they heard that? Let's all read it. Let's read all that together. Salvation identification means the entire molecular structure of my eternal being has been changed to realign with divine configuration. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. I am recreated to rule and reign over darkness and manifest the light of His presence in every arena of my life.
Amen.
I call you the blessed of the Lord. I decree that the hand of God is upon you for success. I decree that everything you set your hand to prospers. I decree that He became poor so that you might be rich, and that wealth is taking root in your life at this very moment. You're seizing on to the knowledge that whom God has made free is free in all they do. Free to be rich, free to be healthy, free to be an overcomer, free to triumph in life as kings and priests unto God. I call you the blessed of the Lord and decree that His abundant blessings are overtaking you. Church, you're moving into the greatest season of wealth and abundance in the midst of the world going down the toilet. You're rising up to rule and reign. While they're going broke, you're going to buy up their toys. While they're doing without, you're going to have the things they once sacrificed everything for. Some of you are going to buy things you never thought you could afford. But when everybody else is willing to sell out for a dollar, you'll have more than enough.
Amen.
I tell you, church, don't look at what's happening to the world. Look at what's happening to you.
Amen.
And tell yourself daily, every yoke in my life is being destroyed because of the prosperity God's bringing to me.
Amen.
Now, if you're that person we were talking about earlier, as everyone stands, if you've received a challenge concerning a colon or any type of physical impairment, ministers are waiting here to pray with you. We would love to pray with you, speak the word of life to you, command the blessings of the Lord upon you. If you need prayer in any area, spirit, mind, or body, remind yourself of what promise covers it and come and let one of the ministers join with you. Otherwise, you're loved, you're blessed, go with God.